from some guy you probably met on the internet. It's the Casey Lewis Podcast.
It's Friday, November 20th, 2015, and this is the Casey Lewis Podcast, where we talk about crushing debt, loving work, and chasing dreams that matter. I'm your host, Casey Lewis, and I'm here to answer your questions about money, career, college, real estate, and anything else you may want to talk about. You can write in your questions for free by heading over to casey-lewis.com and filling out the form on the podcast page, or you can hit me up on Twitter at @CaseyNLewis or on Facebook, and I'll be happy to answer your question as part of the show. Kicking off today's show is a question from Parker. Parker writes in, "I'm fairly certain I know the options here, but I wanted your opinion. A family member called us and asked us what she should do with her 2015 Nissan Juke with just 10,000 miles. She owes $26,000 and the dealerships in the area are only offering about $14,000 as a trade-in. They want a bigger vehicle, but obviously they need much less debt. They're about to have a baby and probably have quite a bit of medical bills due to a very long story. What are your thoughts?" Thanks for writing in, Parker. So a 2015 Nissan Juke means she probably bought a brand new car and not a used car. So that's the first part of this. She bought it back in February. They've got about 10,000 miles on it. She owes $26,000 and it's worth about $14,000. So here are my thoughts, Parker. You don't get $12,000 upside down in a new car the first time you buy a car. So she had to have traded in a vehicle with some negative equity to get to this point. It's very, very rare. In fact, it's almost impossible. The $26,000 car depreciated $12,000 in about an 8-month period. It just doesn't happen. They do depreciate like crazy, but not that much. And so there's likely a bunch of taxes rolled into that. She probably has purchased some extended warranty products from the F&I department when she went to purchase this car. She probably has some added on insurance. I hope she has gap insurance if she's got $12,000 negative equity. So there's probably some extra products in there that can get canceled that is going to bring that $26,000 loan balance down some. So if it's a $2,000 warranty that was tied into that, if she cancels the extended warranty contract, well, then that is going to bring that down to $24,000. If there's other insurance products in there, it's going to bring that balance down some. I would go ahead and keep the gap insurance on the vehicle. But I would cancel all of the other things. It's a brand new car. You're not going to have warranty issues with it. After all of that is said, really, it is very difficult for us to start overcoming a $5,000, a $6,000, an $8,000, a $10,000 gap between what the car is worth and what the loan payoff is. So if she cancels all of those added products, which I promise you she has something, you don't have that kind of negative equity unless you've rolled in a bunch of vehicle purchases in the past to make this happen. So cancel any products that are out there. That'll bring the loan balance down some. Then look and see what you could sell the car for on your own as a private party individual. So she's getting $14,000 as trade-in. She could probably get $16,000 on that for selling it outright. And so that's going to be $2,000 extra. But even then, you're going to have a loan payoff of $24,000 and a car that's worth $16,000, you've got to come up with the $8,000 difference. That's the only way to make this work. You have to come up with the difference in order to make something happen because you can't go down in car. There's a thing called loan to value when you are purchasing a vehicle and a bank will not lend you $8,000 more on a cheaper car. On a $30,000 car, they'll lend you $38,000. They're fine with that. But on a $10,000 car, they won't lend you $18,000. They're not okay with that. So if she's wanting to go down in car but up in size of car, like there's a bunch of stuff going on here, Parker. I would say that she's probably going to be stuck in this Nissan Juke for a little bit of time. So here's what she's got to do. She's got to get on a budget. She needs to rapidly pay off any other debts that are out there. She probably needs to work a little bit of overtime or her husband, or they need to get some income going up. They need to have a garage sale. They need to slash their expenses. And they need to find a way to create this margin that they need. And about 12 months from now, they'll be able to cover that difference. It's not something that I can tell you, oh, do these five things and you can get rid of this car and get into something new. No, you're probably going to be stuck in this Nissan Juke for a year while you're trying to get through those things. And so it comes up all the time because I've worked in the car business and we put everybody upside down. It was just what we did because people trade in their cars every 3 years. So yeah, that's what I would do is I would keep the Nissan Juke. I would focus on paying down as much as I could on the Nissan Juke balance, saving up as much cash as I could. And in a year, you'll probably be able to make some adjustments to that car loan. Good question. Thanks for writing in. All right. So I come across stories on the internet. If you're not checking out the website Medium, you should, because I came across this article from Seth. And our friend Jennifer Kaufman forwarded it to me. But I'd like to read this and then talk about it. It's also another car thing. Seth wrote, I currently drive a 2015 black Toyota Yaris. I drive this little car to work every day. I'm a web designer at a local web company. Love my job. Thankful that I have a way to get to work each day. And I'm thankful to have this car that gets me quickly and safely home. But I really believe that it is time to give this car up. I drove it off the lot in February this year, and I'm ready to drive it back. Not because I don't like it. I actually love the car. It's a lot of fun to drive, but here's why. We go to this amazing church in Cincinnati, and this church, this community has helped our family grow closer to God in many ways. It's a special place, and the people that make up Crossroads are doing powerful things around the world to help others in the name of Jesus. The current series at Crossroads is called I'm In. And it's all about people committing to take a bold and challenging step to give up something in order to give back to people around the world. At last week's service, there was a video of a young girl from India named Anjali. And Anjali was a group of girls that was rescued from sex trafficking. Against her own will, she had been involved since the age of 11. Crossroads had a hand in her rescue. The entire video was powerful, but there was one particular thing she said that tore me up. Anjali said, maybe you had 100 rupees and you wanted to buy chocolate, but you didn't buy that chocolate and you saved it, maybe for me. And like that, you saved my life. And your rupees didn't go to waste. That's me. That saved my soul. And I now have a life. I have a destination and a hope. So Seth writes, my hope is that the monthly payment we've been paying for my Toyota can now go towards something that is far greater. If the money to buy a chocolate can help rescue a girl from sex trafficking, what could the money I spend on my car each month go towards? I'm not 100% sure yet, but I'm excited to give it to God and see how He wants to use it. So with all this said, I'm going to sell my car. I need to figure out how this process works, but this is my intent. I'm thankful for my wife that she has a car and is super handy, blah, 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 blah. And so he goes on, he doesn't have a clue how to sell the car and wants some advice on how to do that. But I really, this is the reason that I do what I do is because you can see Seth starting to wake up here and realize, whoa, the money that I have can make a huge impact in not just my life, not to buy me nice things or to have a nice car, which are good things to have, but the money that I make, the money I earn, the money I save, the money that I have can go to do some really, really awesome things. And so sometimes those really awesome things look like chasing after a dream job or starting up a business or funding ministries around the world or putting up a water well or helping girls like Anjali in India. And we need more good people like you and people like me to make more money and to live this life with intention and with purpose and with a mission to give to ministries and causes like this, because there are a lot of good ministries and causes like this that are struggling because they just don't have the funding because people are driving a 2015 Toyota Yaris or a 2015 Nissan Juke and they're paying $300 or $500 or $800 a month for their car. And I want you to have a nice car. I do want you to have a nice car. But I don't want you to have a nice car at the expense of being able to do some really awesome things. And so here's what you've got to do, Seth. Step one, find out the payoff on your Toyota Yaris. You can just call your bank and say, hey, how much do I owe you to pay off this car? Then you need to go on Craigslist, Kelley Blue Book, NADA, Cars.com, Edmunds, Auto Trader, all the places you can look online, your local newspaper, find out what Toyota Yaris's that are like yours are selling for. And then you're going to determine your equity position. So if your payoff is $10,000 and the cars in your area are selling for $12,000, you have $2,000 of equity. If the payoff is $10,000 and the cars in your area are worth $8,000, then you have $2,000 of negative equity. You're upside down. So you need to determine, do I have equity? Am I upside down? Am I going to need to write a check for the payoff in order to make this work? How much am I going to have left over in equity so that I can write a check for a new car? And then you've got to determine how you're going to pay for a replacement car. So if you go through all this and you find that you've got $5,000 left over that you can put towards a replacement car, well, then you need to dig around and find what type of car you can get for $5,000 cash and determine, am I really willing to do this? The answer is yes, you're willing to do this. You can get a great car for $5,000. And you need to look and see what type of car can you get. So go online, do some research, find a good quality Toyota, Nissan, Honda. I would avoid high mileage domestic cars. They don't last. They're going to break down on you. Your repair bills are going to be high. But find a good high quality Toyota Camry, Honda Accord, Nissan Maxima, Toyota 4Runner. These are all great cars. Okay? So then you're going to detail your car. Your 2015 Yaris, you're going to detail it. You're going to make it look immaculate. And you're going to take great pictures of it. You're going to put it on Craigslist. And you're going to put it on Facebook. And you're going to put it on cars.com. You can go down to a car dealer and get what's called a buy bid from the car dealer. But you need to know that car businesses are in the business of making money. That's what they do. So when they're trying to make money, they're going to lowball your car because they aren't... When you're trying to sell them your car, they're not going to be selling you another car. They know that. Their only chance of making money on it is by getting your car at a really good deal so that they can turn around and resell it for a profit. So you can avoid that by just selling it yourself and you'll make more money. Then, once you have your buyer, you're going to take the cash, you're going to pay off the car, and you're going to transfer the title, and then you've got your cash to go buy your new car. So that's the process of selling this car, getting rid of it, being able to take that cash and go buy a new car, and then your monthly car payment is freed up, and you can start, make sure that you have a firm financial foundation, so make sure you have a good savings account first, and then start giving it, find the ministries that you want to give to, like if you want to give to the one that took care of Anjali in India, you give to that one. So great question, good story. Thanks for starting out on this process, Seth. I think you're going to be really impressed with the lifestyle change that you make and the impact that you're going to start to make in the world. All right, so let's hear from today's show sponsor. Are you ready to take your life, your financial life, to the next level? Then the 30 Days to Better Money ebook will give you all the tools, tricks, and tips you need to crush your money goals. Whether you're struggling to pay off debt, planning for retirement, living paycheck to paycheck, or just want to build a solid financial foundation, this 30-day challenge will walk you through exactly what to do and give you a roadmap for success. You could buy this ebook on Amazon, or you can just get it for free when you visit casey-lewis.com/30days. All right, so we had two car-related questions. Let's talk about a real estate question that came in from Kelly. She said, we have to replace our dishwasher. We have black appliances in the house, and we know that in three-ish years, we want to be selling our house. How important is it that the appliances are stainless? Do I start with the dishwasher now and work on the others until then? Good question, Kelly. And this is one of those it depends type of answers. So it depends on the type of neighborhood you live in. If you live in a high-end neighborhood, yes, they're going to expect stainless appliances. Black appliances or white appliances will hurt you when it comes to reselling your home. If you live in a lower-end neighborhood, then stainless appliances are going to really make you stand out, but aren't going to really bring a whole bunch of extra value. And black appliances would do just fine to sell the house. The difficulty or the struggle or what you've got to look for is that your appliances need to match. So you need to have a black oven, a black microwave, a black dishwasher, and if your state leaves the refrigerator, a black refrigerator. a black vent hood, or you need to have a stainless oven, stainless microwave, stainless dishwasher, stainless vent hood. All of them need to match. And that's the more important part of it. Now, I'll tell you, I live in one of those transitional neighborhoods. So we're not just starter homes. We're nicer than starter homes, but we're not, you know, the big luxury homes. We're kind of in this transitional phase. And stainless in my neighborhood would get me a little bit more money, but more important than that, it will make my house sell faster if somebody's comparing my house in my neighborhood to somebody else's house in my neighborhood. And the cost for stainless is not that much more. And so for us, I would lean towards stainless and be okay with it. Now, you're asking, it's not time to replace your oven. It's not time to replace your microwave. If you see yourself moving in 3 years, just know that if you put a stainless steel dishwasher in place right now, you're going to need to put a stainless oven and stainless microwave. So keep that in mind, because the appliances need to match when you go to sell the house. While you're living there, I don't care what do they look like. I've got a white refrigerator and black appliances right now. I don't care. But when it comes time to sell our house, they're all going to match. They're all going to be the same, and they'll all be stainless in my house because it makes sense. But if in your neighborhood it doesn't make sense to have stainless, then just make sure you get really nice black appliances, really nice white appliances, and go forward from there. So great question, Kelly. Thank you for writing in. Hey, if you have a question for me, head over to the podcast episode page at casey-lewis.com and find the questions from the internet button, or you can always reach out to me on Twitter at @CaseyNLewis or over on Facebook. Also, I just switched our Patreon funding page over from a per episode funding to a monthly funding. If you remember last week's show, I said I was going to start introducing more episodes during the week. We'll still have the main show on Fridays, but there'll be a 5 or a 10 minute episode. And with Patreon, my options for funding were you give per episode or you give on a monthly basis. And since I may be throwing 10 new episodes or 15 new episodes a month into the lineup, I didn't want you guys that are funding the show to be paying per episode. It just didn't seem right, because you would never know how much you'd actually be paying. So we switched it over to monthly, and it's just a flat. If you want to give $3 a month to the show, if you want to give $10 a month to the show, awesome. We appreciate it, and it allows us to create some better content and more episodes each month. So if you want to help support the show, head over to patreon.com/CaseyNLewis. Remember, the N stands for ninja. With that, I'm going to wrap things up. Remember, your dreams matter. Put your money in a position to chase after what's important. Go crush it, and I'll see you next time.
Thanks for checking out the Casey Lewis Podcast. Connect with Casey on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook by following at @CaseyNLewis. You can get all the show notes for today's shows and tons of bonus content on the podcast episode page at casey-lewis.com. And if you like the show, don't forget to leave a rating and review for us over in iTunes. That's my dad.